Amen. We can do better than that. Amen. They were singing about our God, our Lord, our Savior, who came to die and take the punishment that we should receive. Somebody ought to give God some praise in here, because that sounds like a good God to me. Amen. Amen. Our call to worship scripture today is Psalms 33, standard 1. It says, "Rejoice in the Lord, O ye righteous, for praise is commonly for the upright." Give God a hand clap of praise. Amen. Amen. We now have our opening hymn, hymn 206.
Yeah.
God, a hand clap of praise. Amen. Amen. Let us bow our heads. Our Father, the one who loved us so much that you sent life into this world. You sent joy into this world. You sent peace into this world. And Master, as we celebrate this day of Advent, you sent hope into this world. We come to say thank you for the hope that we have. For it gives us strength, Master, when there's nothing else. We can hold on to our hope. So this morning we come to say thank you. Thank you, Lord God, because you thought of us enough to give us the things we need to make it through our trying times, to make it through our trials and our tribulations. So we come to say thank you. And you're such a wonderful God that not only have you given us the things we need to make it through, but Father, you yourself make sure that you comfort us as we go through. So we say thank you, Master. For we know that all the things that we have to deal with in this world, Master, we can look to our left and we can look to our right and know that you are standing right there with us. So we come this morning to say thank you, Master. Thank you for your love. Thank you for your joy, Lord God. Thank you, Lord God, for your peace. Thank you for hope. We pray, Master, that we realize that these things are not accomplished, Lord God, by our own knowledge, by our own strength, by our own studies, Master, but these things are accomplished only through your love. So we come this morning to say thank you, because it is your love that makes all of this possible. All of the things that we're able to do and all the things we're able to overcome, we're able to do them simply because you love us. We come this morning and say thank you, Master, to give you praise and to lift up your Son, Jesus Christ's holy name, who died on a cross that we may have life and life more abundantly. This morning we come to say thank you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. 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 We ask now that our officers will come for the purpose of our tithing and offering. Bow. Father God, we come now to say thank you, Father, for these gifts that have been given here today. And we pray, Father, that as we make decisions about this, Lord God, of these gifts, Master, we pray that your spirit be with us and that you will lead us and guide us in all decisions, Master, so that people can see that you are God and God alone. We ask now in this blessing, your Son, Jesus Christ's holy name, we pray that every heart say amen.
Amen. Thank you.
Amen. You know, I was standing over there thinking, as I often do, the song said, "You are the source of my supply." I was singing hallelujah, oh Lord. If you think your job is your source, you're in trouble. If you think your business is your source, you're in trouble. If you think your education or your status is the source, you're in trouble. Because there's only one source. And that source is our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And when I think about all the things that I think I've accomplished in life, I realize I haven't done anything, but God has done it all. Somebody ought to give God some praise in here. Because if you're a child of God, he's done it all for you. Hallelujah. Thank you for appeasing me for a few minutes. I had to get that out. Amen. Amen. I think that we've gotten so spoiled. Because we're living so good. And that we forget who the real source is. Amen. Amen. And that's okay because we are human. Amen. But every now and then you better realize, as the children say, who him is. Because he is him. Amen. He is the one and only true God. Amen. Let us bow our heads. Father God, we come now asking that you be with us, Father, as we bring forth this message to your people. For it is not me, Lord God, that has power, but it is you that have all of the power. So we ask now that you use this old wretched vessel that's good for nothing to speak to your people, that they may receive a word from you that will give them power to make it through the week. For the enemy is always ready and he's always busy, Master. But we know that you have the antidote, Lord God, and you have the answer to all of his attempts. So we ask now, Father, speak through us, to use us, to uplift them, to give them strength, Lord God, and encourage them to continue on the battlefield. In your Son Jesus Christ's holy name, we pray. Amen. Amen. If you have your Bibles with you, turn with me to Romans chapter 15, verse 13. And I promise I won't be long. Romans chapter 15, verse 13. And it reads, "Now the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, that ye may abound in hope through the power of the Holy Ghost." Amen. Just for a few seconds, thank God for hope. Thank God for hope. My brothers and my sisters, the mind of God is beautiful. As simply said, it is beautiful, for his thoughts are so consumed with the quality of our life that he has given us a powerful gift. That gift we call hope. Hope is a gift because it is a product of God's love for us. God loves us so that he goes to the ends of the world just to make sure we're okay. Somebody ought to give God some thanks for that. Because there are people who praise and worship other gods and their God don't speak back. But our God is very present and ever present with us. And every time we need him, God is always there. Now, as the old people say, that he may not come when you want him, but he's always right on time. Amen. Anybody ever experienced God being right on time? I know I have in my life, God has always shown up when I thought that perhaps the end may be right before me. But somehow God knows when to show up, and when he shows up, every time he shows up with all power. Somebody ought to give God some thanks. You don't have to clap. I'm just saying that. That's just how I say it. So you don't have to appease me and clap. Amen. Amen. Because if you want to give him thanks, I wouldn't have to ask you to. Amen. Amen. That's just how I preach, okay? I'm old. I still got some of that baptism in me. That's my rhythm. Amen. But I want you to know that God is always ready to be there for us. We don't ever have to question if God is going to show up. And we don't ever have to question if God's going to show up and deliver us. Because every time he shows up, he delivers. He's better than the mailman. He always delivers. Now, last Sunday, I shared with you that love has everything to do with it. But in this message, I want you to see that because you are a child of God, you should have experienced the love of God, not just in the past, but you should still be experiencing the love of God. Because God's love never quits. It never ends. It's from beginning to end. So I kind of made a mistake on last Sunday when I said that you, as a child of God, has experienced the love of God versus you are experiencing the love of God. Amen. Amen. So because you are a child of God and you are experiencing the love of God, you ought to always be assured that God is going to do whatever he needs to do to make your life better. We should never have to question if God is there. We should never ever question would God deliver. We should never even question if God will help us through our pressure situations that perhaps have put us in a place where our minds are not quite right. Because if you are a child of God, he's there. We ought to be assured that he is there. Romans 15 and 4 says this: for whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning, that we through patience and comfort of the scriptures might have hope. In other words, everything that has been done in the Bible, every sentence, every chapter, every book is all about giving you hope. Everything is about giving you hope. If you don't have hope, you have nothing. If you don't have hope, you are not assured of anything. Let me help you out here. The dictionary says, well, the secular dictionary said that hope is a feeling of expectation, wishing something will happen. Well, according to the Bible, hope is the assurance, the certainty that God will do what he said he would do. Oh, somebody give God some praise in here. Hope is that thing that keeps us connected to God. It's that thing that keeps us chasing God. It's that thing that keeps us desiring God, because we realize that God has promised us some things and we are looking for the promise to come true. I was talking to my brother-in-law the other night. We have a little gathering every Thursday, me and the men of my family. And in the gathering, he said, I remember when I used to tell you guys when you were in junior high school and high school that I was going to take you to the gym. And if I was a little late, you guys would call me and say, man, where you at? You said you was coming. You said that you were going to be here. And I'm looking for you to be here because I believe you're going to be truthful to your word. All of us have experienced things in our life that have made us have hope about something that's going to transpire. Well, I tell you, when it comes to God, you ought to be assured that whatever it is going to happen. You shouldn't have to call God like I had to call my brother-in-law. You should just know. y'all ain't with me today. You should just know that it's going to happen. Reverend, what you're talking about? Hebrews 11 and 1 says this, says, faith is the substance of things hoped for. faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. So in other words, faith and hope are tied together. You can't have faith without hope, and you can't have hope without faith. Which means you can't just have faith in faith and hope in hope, because there is no power in faith in faith, and there's no power in hope only in hope. You must have both of them in order to please God. Lord, have mercy. See, some of us have faith, but we don't have no hope. What you mean, Reverend? Well, I have faith in God, but I'm not sure if he's going to heal me. That's not hope. If you are lacking hope, you can't please God, because hope is part of faith. Are y'all with me?
Yes.
So if you have hope, you got faith. If you got faith, you got to have hope. The worst thing I can ever hear, and I hear this all the time, where Christians say, well, Reverend, I just can't get past this. What? What you mean you can't get past something? Are you not a child of God? When you say you can't, that means you don't have hope. And I know it's a subtle thing, and we don't think about it, you know, but we have to be careful of the words that we speak, because the Bible says that God is going to give us back every word that we've ever spoken. Jesus Christ. Some of us are going to be in trouble. If you have hope, shall not be in your vocabulary. And I know sometimes when I talk to people, people get confused because they talk to me and I be, you know, I'm one of those optimistic people. I always see the bright side of everything. My wife said, you know, you're just one of those people. You don't want to fuss or fight with nobody. I said, no, it ain't that. I have hope that God's going to work it out. Huh? I have hope that God is going to be involved. I have hope that God is going to do something that has not been done. And I'm going to tell you, when I hope, I am assured in my soul that God's going to work it out. You know, we say we have pessimistic people, you know, folks who, you know, we always look for the worst in things. Be careful, because if you're thinking like that, my question is, where is your hope? God sent us hope that we may stay with him. It is our desire to be in his very presence, because we believe in his promises. I believe that when God said he'll never leave me nor forsake me, I believe that no matter what my situation is that I'm going through in life, I believe that God is there. And I believe that not only is he there, but I believe that he's going to work it out. The assurance that God will be there, the assurance that God will help me, the assurance that God will deliver, because God said that he would. Now, if we're children of God, we know our Father, right? We know that our Father cannot lie. And he's immutable, which means he never changes. He's the same every day, every second, every minute of the hour. He's not like us. You know, some of us, we're wishy-washy. And all of us are flaky. Let's just be honest. I'm talking about myself, too. Now, we're all flaky. That's human nature. We're not perfect. Sometimes we're flaky on purpose. Sometimes we're flaky by mistake. It's just human nature. But God is never flaky. Every time he says something, he means it. Every time he promised something, he means it. Every time he's with you, it's intentional.
It's not by happenstance, or not just because we belong to the same church, or we belong to the same sorority or fraternity. It's because he intends to be with us. He intends to share time with us, love with us, understanding with us, and he's compassionate while he's there. Paul helps us out in this text. Paul says, now the God of hope, in him saying that, Paul assigns authority over hope to God. You see that in the text? He says, now the God of hope. And I had to say that because some of us think hope comes from other places. God is the author of hope. He's the controller of hope. Amen? Amen. Not our jobs, not our friends, not our husband, our wives. It is God who is the creator and the controller of hope. So if God is the creator and the controller of hope, when Paul speaks in his text, he's speaking from confidence. He's speaking from a place of experience, trying to let us know that if we are children of God and he's our father, then hope will always abide with us. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you that hope will always abide with me. Hope will always be with me, no matter what I go through. Because he didn't say that you weren't going to go through. Huh? He promised you that actually that you would go through. Amen. The Bible says the days of a man are short, but filled with trouble. Although there's trouble there, you must understand that God is there as well. Amen? You're not by yourself. You're not standing alone. You're not on that island all by yourself. Your God is there with you. And Paul says this. He said, because he is our Father and he is the author of hope, he says he will fill you with all, what? Joy and peace. He said life challenges are going to come. Life challenges will attack your joy and it will attack your peace. But he says, if you have hope, y'all see that in the text? He says, if you have hope, he says, in believing that ye may abound in what? Hope through the power of the Holy Ghost. He says, if you have hope, God will deliver you from every situation. He says, if you have hope, no matter how bad it is, God will be there. He said, he'll replace your joy that life is trying to take. He said, when you have chaos, he said, God will replace that chaos with peace. Oh, somebody ought to give God some praise. Because some of us are in chaotic situations. But God says, even in that situation, I can give you calm peace. Have anybody ever paid attention when they talking on the weather station about tornadoes? I'm sorry, not tornadoes, but hurricanes. Hurricane tearing up everything. Everything in its outer bands is destroying. Everything within those outer bands are chaotic. But when you get right smack dab in the middle, there's peace. It's calm. Tranquility in the eye of your storm. God said, if you got hope, I will be the eye of your storm. When everything looks like it's falling down and nothing is working, he says, hope will put you in the eye with me. Oh. God said, just hold on and know. Don't have a feeling. Because feelings can be wishy-washy. They can wipe away. But if you know, that means no one can change your mind. No one can make you talk different about me. No one can make you say anything negative about me. If you know, I will be the peace. I will be the joy of your life. No matter what you go through. Give God a hand clap of praise. The doors of the church are now open. If there would be one
and the free pardon of your sins, the time is now. The Bible says, find God while he is near, for surely shall come a time where God cannot be found. The doors of the church are now open. Amen. Give God a hand clap of praise. Amen. As children of God, no matter how bad your situation is, you should always have hope, which is the assurance that God will deliver. Did you hear what I said? The assurance that God will deliver. When Peter was in the jail and they were about to kill him, and they had him shackled to prison guards outside the gate, guess what Peter did? The Bible says Peter went to sleep, because Peter had peace, he had joy, because he had the assurance that God will deliver. Amen. Amen.
Oh,
pierced him in his side. They pierced him in his side. They pierced him in his side for me. One day when I was lost, Jesus died upon the cross. I know it was the blood for me. I know it was the blood. I know it was the blood. I know it. Let us bow. Our Father God, we come to you today, Lord God, to say thank you, Master, you know, for all that you have said today. And thank you, Master, for all of your blessings. For we are assured, or shall I say assured, that you will accomplish everything that you promised us. Master, our faith will not be shaken, no matter how many times the enemy try to make us turn against you. We'll stand on your promises with faith and with hope. Master, as we prepare to leave this place, Master, we ask that you watch over us, that you protect us, that you keep us, Master. For it is in your keeping care can we find peace and can we find joy. We ask of these blessings now in your Son Jesus Christ's holy name we do now pray. And we ask that all the saints of God would say,
Father, which art in temptation.